Jeff Miller was an international lawyer with a London bank, and about a decade ago, he and his partner upped stakes and moved to Hayward, Wisconsin to run the local ice cream shop.
In a new book, he tells the story of making a drastic life change and of his love for small towns, the Midwest, and ice cream. Jeff Miller joins us now. He operates West Hayward Dairy and McCormick House Inn. His new book is called Scoop, Notes from a Small Ice Cream Shop. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much.
So in the world of things that change, I mean, this is a seismic change we're talking about. You moving from London, an international lawyer, to a small town ice cream store owner and inn owner. How did that ever come about?
Well, I am from the area. I grew up outside the Twin Cities. And although I'd lived in London for 12 years and had lived outside the upper Midwest for over 25, I visited periodically. And I had a friend who had a lake home in the Hayward area, a friend from school, and we visited. And after a while, we bought a cabin about 20 miles east of Hayward. And within 6 months of coming back and forth to do some renovations, we saw the ice cream shop was for sale, and we were just having some ice cream. And it was one of those moments when neither of us was very happy with our careers and the stages they were at. And we saw a for sale sign in the window, so we asked ourselves, well, why couldn't we do this? And a few months later, we had sold our home in London, packed everything, and I resigned from Citigroup, the bank I was working for in London, and arrived in Hayward in the beginning of the spring of, and that was 2005.
You describe yourself in the book as someone who's not prone to drastic action. Was this big move out of character for you?
It was out of character. I'd always been driven. Ever since I was young, I'd wanted to see the world, travel, and being a lawyer allowed me to do that. I had worked in New York, London, Hong Kong, and I had achieved something, and I was doing quite well. But there was just something missing. I was no longer happy. I had been with the bank for 9 years, and while I loved London, I'd grown very happy there, and I even became a British citizen. There was a lack of balance, and the work was just becoming all-consuming, and with the creation of the BlackBerry, you really couldn't get away from it. So weekends were no longer free, and the stress and pressure were just a price that was becoming too much. And so, at the same time, I couldn't really do anything else because I didn't really know what else to do, and I didn't really have many other skills. But when we saw that this ice cream shop was for sale, and we automatically saw signs of ice cream grandeur and Ben and Jerry's, and it had a very lovely kitsch quality in the town. But we didn't really know Hayward very well, but we had visited the area and it was beautiful. The lakes were amazing, and we knew that especially in the summer there were crowds of people, and that the ice cream shop was a local institution. So we thought it just seemed clear. It became this blank slate where we could write our future and success. And the bed and breakfast was really more of an afterthought. We were looking for a place to live in town, and this 7-bedroom Victorian mansion had been on the market for a number of years. And when we saw it, my partner Dean, he decided that it was just it was made for him, and so that's how we developed the two businesses simultaneously.
Did you have a passion for what you were doing right away, restoring this inn and also serving ice cream, or is it something that you had to build up to and get confident in?
Well, I always liked ice cream, and I in fact, more so as a child, I ate ice cream all the time. I rarely ate my dinner. I would come home from school, and my father had died when I was quite young, so my mother spoiled me and allowed me to do this. So I always enjoyed ice cream, although as I became an adult, you eat it once in a while, but not much. But ice cream is one of those things, when you look at it, it just looks fun, and it looks like, well, it can't be too hard either. And I'm a bit creative. I don't like to cook that much, but coming up with new flavors and ideas is something you imagine doing. And so it seemed like it would be, without knowing much about it, it seemed like it would be fun. And one thing I did before moving to Hayward, I discovered this ice cream course online. It was, I was doing some research online, while I should have been doing some work. And the University of Reading outside London had a 3-day ice cream course. And I thought, well, this is perfect. And it was in January. We're moving in March. And so I signed up for it. And at the time, I still hadn't resigned. So no one knew that I was doing this. And I I took a few days off, and I went to the train station to take the train and trying to avoid seeing anyone I knew from the bank. And I took this course with some professors from their School of Food Bioscience, which talked about the science of ice cream. And then we actually went into their plant room and we made some, using their formulas, an ice cream base and then actually froze it. And I must admit I was a bit at first, the science can be really tricky. You know, it's kind of tricky ice cream. You know, it's frozen and it can easily melt. And if you don't freeze it properly, it may not turn out very well. So it was a bit frightening. But once I arrived in Hayward, under the tutelage of Bruce West, the owner and seller of the ice cream shop, I learned the ropes. And he actually continued to help for a number of years and still does help sometimes. So I got used to it, and I have plenty of help, and we've done quite well with it, and have expanded the number of flavors we offer. And even though the 3-day course probably wasn't all I needed,
what did it feel like when you'd signed the papers, you went into the shop for the first time, and this was yours, this was your future?
Well, this is I described this in the book. It's from the very beginning. And we had only been in Hayward really in the summer and the fall, which are lovely times with lots of people. And so this was the middle or towards the end of March. It was really around the first day of spring. And the closing completion of the purchase was going to be at the end of March. And so we decided we would get to town and we'd go in for I called it the handover meeting. And we went in and of course, it's – Well, it is winter. There's snow on the ground. And we weren't really – after 25 years of being away, I forgot that spring arrives rather late to the area. And so when we left London, there were daffodils blooming and spring was in the air. But in Hayward, there was still plenty of snow on the ground. And so there was no one around. And we walked in and it was just very quiet. And then we began to notice that, the place could use a bit of work. And and we met some of the people involved. And that sort of became one of the interesting things. And I think it was that experience that I thought this is going to be interesting. One of the characters in the book who was there, his name was Buck, and he was at the time he was already in his mid-70s, and he worked at the ice cream shop for the owner, and he was always around, and he turned out to be quite a character. He had his opinions on everything, but he loved the ice cream shop, and we kept him on, and he would help scoop ice cream. He loved making malts, and he was very good at it. And he would do some deliveries. And so in the book, there's a bit of a description of the growing relationship I had with him. Sometimes he was a bit too ornery and cantankerous, but in the end, we got along quite well.
A lot of people kind of go through the beginning stages of what you went through. They go somewhere beautiful on vacation. Their lives are stressful. And they think, why don't we just move here? Could we just move here and open a business? Not many people do it because it's hard, but you guys did. Did you ever have a moment where you thought, oh, this has been a horrible mistake. We're in over our heads. Why did we do this?
Certainly. Many times. It was something. We knew it was a bit of a risk. Probably not. We were probably a bit naive and not realizing how much of a risk it was. Fortunately, we came with a fair amount of resources to withstand the downs and also the long winter, and that it took a few years to build the business, especially with the bed and breakfast, where we spent 2-3 times what we had intended to spend on the renovations, and then we had no customers because it was a brand new business, and it took some time to build that. Fortunately, the ice cream shop, because it was a local institution, did well from the very beginning, and that helped get us through those very lean years at the beginning. But I think in the end, it was always easy to look back at what our lives were like and how out of balance they were, and the easiest thing for me is in the summer. It's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm in the ice cream shop, and I see people. Parents are there with their children, and you see them. They're checking emails because they know they have to get back to the city, and they have to go to work the next day. And for me, I just have to get up and put on a new T-shirt and come to work and do some ordering and check the schedule I can still appreciate that. And so while at times we wondered whether we did the right thing, there were never any regrets.
You mentioned that you are from the upper Midwest. Dean, though, I gather, isn't. Was there some culture shock for him at first?
Oh, certainly. Dean is British, and although he had traveled in America and had always had a desire to live in America, and to a certain extent, he is quite an extroverted personality, perhaps much more so than I am. So he adapted quite well, but he was often amused by the things that people would do. I mean, I think when his first sight of pickled herring in the relish tray. Put him over the edge, as well as they have English are sometimes funny about food. They hate the idea of mixing savory things with sweet things, especially at breakfast time. So when we were at our first dairy breakfast, the Sawyer County Dairy Breakfast, and his job was to put scoop ice cream on top of pancakes that were sitting right next to some sausage links. I thought he may lose his breakfast.
We're talking to Jeff Miller about his move from international lawyer in London to ice cream shop owner in Hayward, Wisconsin. His new book is Scoop: Notes from a Small Ice Cream Shop.
And you can join the conversation. Have you ever made a huge life change like this one? Are you a small town business owner? What is that like? And what do you love about small town life in the North Woods? Or do you have a favorite ice cream flavor that you want to share? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org. We continue our conversation with Jeff Miller. His new book is called Scoop, and he tells the story of his big move from being an international lawyer at a London bank to owning an ice cream store in Hayward, Wisconsin.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you ever made that major life decision, making that huge change, walking away from the daily grind to try something new? Or did you walk up to the verge and then get cold feet? Or do you want to share your love of small town Wisconsin and the North Woods? Or maybe just your favorite ice cream flavor? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And let's talk a little bit more about the ice cream. Your book is called Scoop, after all. So how did you get into the business of making that ice cream yourselves? What goes into actually making the ice cream?
Ice cream in small ice cream shops start with a base, and ours is a 14% butterfat sweetened cream. And we make it two ways. We have a very old machine. It's a continuous freezer of about the same age as me, 50 years. And it takes two or three people to operate, but it can produce a lot of ice cream. After our first year, we bought a batch freezer, which most small ice cream shops have, that will produce 9 or 10 gallons of ice cream at a time. And that allows us to make a lot of different flavors. One of the things I would do every winter, though, is try to come up with some new flavors. And for a while, every year we would try to introduce 5 new flavors. Some of them would be really popular and some of them not so popular. For example, 2 years ago in 2012, it was the 40th anniversary of Watergate. So I came up with an ice cream that I called Remembering Watergate, which was much like the Watergate salad that you may remember from the 70s. It was a pistachio pineapple ice cream with a marshmallow swirl. And it was actually very good, but it was overwhelmingly sweet. And so we had it for the 1 year, and some people really liked it and still ask about it, but that didn't make the cut for 2013. Last year I had an ice cream that I quite liked. It was agave, so we use an agave sweetener rather than and so it was more of a natural sweet, not a vanilla base. And we had a hint of raspberry in it, and we called it Agave Maria because the names are, I think, as important as the ice cream sometimes. And while I quite liked it, unfortunately, it was not very popular either. This year, because of the winter, I was busy working with the editors at the Minnesota Historical Society Press and revising the book. All my creative energies were focused on that, and I unfortunately didn't come up with any new flavors. So this year, we've reintroduced key lime pie, which we hadn't had out in a few years, and it's been very popular. And I'm also pushing an ice cream that we've had for a number of years, but it was popular at first, but then people sort of seem to forget about it, and we call it Amazon Treat. And it's an acai berry ice cream with dark chocolate chunks and salted cashews, which is
Zany.
A very
wow.
nice
wow.
Alternative to your strawberry or black cherry.
So what is your best-selling ice cream?
That'd probably be mint chocolate chip, and I think that's just because a big, very popular ice cream in the upper Midwest. But there's an ice cream that Wes has always made called Almost Sinful, and it's a vanilla ice cream with a fudge swirl, chocolate-covered peanuts and walnuts, and that would probably be our number two seller. And it's popular especially with people who have been coming to West for, 20, 30, 40 years.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Dennis in Wautoma. Dennis, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Congratulations on your success, by the way. It's not easy. My partner and I are basically Chicago people who moved to the Wautoma area. He grew up coming up to the Wild Rose area for most of his childhood all the way up to adolescence. And we became a couple 25 years ago, built a house up here 12 years ago, and then started going into business. We're now in the lodging business. We have seasonal rentals, so we don't do bed and breakfast. And we've been pleasantly surprised by how well-received a gay couple is up here. Even with I'm currently volunteering at the Senior Center here in Wautoma doing the lunch program for them, and you always hear that seniors are the least likely to accept gay people, but frankly, we're not running any of that at all. We've been very, very warmly accepted here in this community, and I was pleasantly surprised by that. I'm just wondering what kind of response you've had.
I think we had the very much the same response. I mean, we've in 9 years, and this will be my 10th summer at the ice cream shop, we've really never had any problem. There's one kind of amusing story is after a few years, I have a lady who works in the ice cream shop in the off season, and she told me that an older lady came in, and I recognized the older lady because she drove a car with a lot of bumper stickers, very noticeable bumper stickers that you sometimes see. And she came in, and she asked Vivian, who worked for me, she said, "Now, you know about those owners, don't you?" And Vivian said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, you know." And basically making very obvious what she was referring to. And she said, "But I just need an ice cream cone." And so I think that was as closest to any sort of negative reaction we've had.
Ice cream overrides all, apparently.
Yeah. I think it's just generally, in the upper Midwest, people are very, especially up in Hayward, people are very, people are there for a number of different reasons. And they come here often in, the middle of their life to do something else. And so people respect others overall, we didn't really give that aspect of it much thought because we sort of thought if we can, make it in, London or New York, we can, do it anywhere. And we didn't really think about it much. Perhaps we should have, but in the end, it wasn't an issue.
So do you feel pretty embedded in the community now, just in terms of moving from the city and being outsiders to the region to being part of a community? Did that take a while?
I think it did, and one of the things I address in the book is sort of how I felt. For me, it was a bit like coming home because I had grown up in the area, so it was certainly more like growing up, in Minnesota than living in London. But I felt a bit like Rip Van Winkle that I hadn't been back in 25 years, and some things had changed. I was very surprised to see that you could buy the New York Times in the local supermarket, which amazed me. But at the same thing, it takes an hour and a half to drive to Target. So it took a bit of adjustment, but things were so familiar to me from like the local bakery, from scratch bakery to the high school, which looked exactly like my high school. So things were coming back, and I felt a bit comfortable, even though I still feel like a bit of an observer. And the way I put it is, though, while I may not feel part of the community all the time, it is certainly part of me. So now when I go away, I'm always thinking about my life in Hayward. And when I go to a city now, I'm just sort of, confused by the traffic and the noise and why you can't get a salad and baked potato with your dinner free of charge.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. We'll go to Michelle now in Fort Atkinson. Michelle, hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. So I'm a big kid at heart, and I love bubblegum ice cream. I love fancy flavors, but my heart always goes back to that. So congratulations on your success.
Well, thank you.
The biggest thing for me so far is establishing myself in a community. I've been a commuter for 15 years, and the company that I worked for closed down, and not only losing 70%+ of our income in one day, I decided to throw my hat in and start my own business. So what's what kind of advice can you give to people that are starting a business in a small community that they may not be embedded in?
Hmm. I think to reach out, I find that a lot of groups, organizations will come to us to ask for assistance from times, and I do whatever I can to help them as a way of getting the word out. And also it gives the message that you are part of the community and want to help them. So I if anyone asks me, and I will give them cards for free ice cream cones that they can give away in, as door prizes or raffles, and just making yourself known to other community groups. I'm fortunate that I employ a lot of students, and so that's a great way of making yourself known, and because they have lots of friends and their parents and they all talk, and so it's a good way of getting support that way.
Jeff, I've spent some time in northern Wisconsin and in Hayward, a little bit of time there, and I've always been curious about the winters. What happens when the tourists go home and the snow comes? What is it like to be up in the North Woods in the winter?
It's very quiet and very long. One thing that we did at first, and I thought we should do this, is embrace it by taking up cross-country skiing, because, of course, with the American Birkebeiner, skiing is a big deal in Hayward. And so we did take lessons, and I wasn't very good. And so I sort of gave that up until this year when I got out again, but I'm still not very good, even after, you know, after not skiing for 8 years. I'm still not very good, and I fell down, and I won't do that again. So what I did is I basically wrote a book. I spent my winters writing Scoop, and it gave me something to do, and it was worthwhile. And I think that is the key to find, especially when you run tourist businesses, seasonal businesses, is finding something to do. The other thing, this past year, I took 2 months and I went to California. So that was another way of dealing with winter in Hayward.
Jeff, you're an ice cream guy. Before we let you go, what is your go-to ice cream at your shop?
That is a hard question, because I'm a bit like, that would be like, I feel a bit like, you know, Meryl Streep and the Nazis are after me. I love the caramel ice creams. I love the salted caramel. I love the toffee treat. I made one and I actually brought to the studio here today Coconut Magic Bar, which reminds me of my youth, and my favorite treat was the 7-layer Magic Bar. It's a coconut dulce de leche ice cream with walnuts, graham cracker, butterscotch, and chocolate chips.
Wow. I wish you were at that studio.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Jeff Miller. He's the author of Scoop, Notes from a Small Ice Cream Shop.